Thank you, awesome worship team. We really appreciate your wonderful gifts and the way you share it with us. I've got Kathy on stage here. Kathy, we just want to know that we love you and we appreciate all that you do for us and our church. You are a wonderful blessing to us, and I'd like to pray for you as you bring the word this morning.
Thank you, I need it.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Kathy. All of us have had connection with Kathy in some way, and she is truly a blessing to this church. Father, we thank you that you use her abilities and gifts to bless our church and bless others in the way she connects people into our church. And Father, we thank you that she is with us this morning and is bringing your word and your message to us. Father, we thank you for the time that she would have put into preparing this. We pray, Father, now that your Holy Spirit would guide her, give her a sense of peace, would encourage her, and that, Father, you would encourage us, that, Father, we would hear what you have to say to us this morning. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. That was awesome. Kia ora. Good morning, everybody. So good to see you all. Allow me to introduce myself. As Debbie said, my name's Kathy, and this morning I stand before you a sinner saved by the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm on the pastoral team here at Hutt City Baptist. I'm married to Mark, and we have three adult children and four delicious grandchildren. Because last week when Jane was speaking, she mentioned that her husband Corey suggested that she needed to have some photos in her PowerPoint presentation. I think that was a follow-on from Jeff a couple of weeks ago when he was speaking. So I thought I should have a photo also, and I could think of no better photo to share with you. And four of my gorgeous grandchildren. So that is Pearl, Millie, Harriet, and Theo. And then hopefully by the 21st of December, number five will have arrived, hopefully. We're going to have a fun Christmas. So another little grandson we're expecting on the 21st of December. But today, as part of our series, I'm speaking about the Holy Spirit. And I thought I would start with a question. What influences and forms your knowledge of the Holy Spirit and what your understanding of the Holy Spirit is in your life? And I'd like to share with you briefly a couple of my early influences. So growing up, I was from a broken home. It was a non-Christian home. But my mother would send my sister and I off to church every Sunday morning. It was the Church of the Nazarene in Christchurch. I think primarily to give Mum a bit of a break. But it was there that I came to faith. And I would take along my father's Bible. I still have it. His parents gave it to him in 1945. It's the King James Version. Woohoo! And so this was the first Bible version I started reading. In fact, I still revert to King James when I think of some passages, particularly ones like the Lord's Prayer, because I think it just sounds so beautiful. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But the King James Version also refers to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. And as a new Christian reading about this Holy Ghost, the only ghost I was aware of was this fella. Casper, the Friendly Ghost, which was a TV program that I used to watch as a young kid. And due to a lack of teaching on the Holy Spirit, this was an early influence which shaped my initial understanding of the Holy Spirit, that it was this thing that just kind of floated around. And another early influence was this. In Christchurch, my father was a movie theatre manager, so I feel right at home here. He managed the Savoy Theatre in Christchurch. Real old school, back in the day where you had one building upstairs, downstairs, yeah, long time ago. But from an early age, I used to work there on weekends and during the school holidays. I was an usherette, I had the torch, and so I got paid to tell people where to go. Brilliant. Let me ask you, how many of you are Star Wars fans. Oh, okay. Let me ask you, how many here has never seen a Star Wars movie? Is there any? Wow, you've never seen a Star Wars movie? Well, Ben Carswell, I don't believe you. Really? Wow. Well, I was working at the theatre when this movie was released. And without referring to your phones, can anybody tell me the year the first Star Wars movie came out? We're in the right decade, the 70s. All close. 73. Well done. Well done. You guys weren't even born then, so well done. 1973. So this was a movie I got to see like a bazillion times. And that also became an influence in my thinking on the Holy Spirit. I thought that the Holy Spirit was kind of like the force that Luke tapped into for power. And if you've watched the movie, you may recall one scene where Obi-Wan Kenobi is telling Luke to use the Force in his fight against evil. Then Luke goes deep into thought and has the ability to combine his will with the Force and ultimately overcome evil. And just as an aside, I Googled. Did you know that when George Lucas wrote the Star Wars movies, that he was actually heavily into Eastern religions, especially Buddhism? He grew up as a Methodist, but was so influenced by Buddhism that the concept of the Force originated out of his belief system. But the good thing is, the Bible doesn't say that the Holy Spirit is a cosmic, mystical force that we need to have special powers to tap into. So who is the Holy Spirit? What is his purpose and role? And how can the Holy Spirit work in our lives? This is the sixth message in this series. Every week we've touched on the building blocks of our faith. So far we've looked at God, the Bible, the problem of sin, biblical Israel, and last week the person of Jesus Christ that Jane presented to us. Today we're going to explore the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. In Old Testament days, God spoke to his people primarily through prophets, people like Isaiah, Daniel and Jonah. He spoke to the prophet, and the prophet spoke to the people. Then Jesus, the Son of God, came and spoke face to face with people about the kingdom of God. When he walked this earth for 33 short years, he was the voice of God. And after his ascension, and Ben will be talking about that with us next week, after his ascension into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to continue his work. John chapter 14 says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is part of the triune God. The Holy Spirit is God. When we think of God the Father, we can grasp that in our mind, because we've all had a father. There's lots of fathers in here around us. So the concept of a father is one that we can see and understand. Likewise, when we think of God the Son, we can imagine a son. I've got two sons, and we may have family and friends who have a son. So again, the concept of a son is one that we can understand. Our minds draw off our experiences to formulate our perception of God the Father and God the Son. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, for many people, a picture does not immediately come to mind. For me as a new Christian, it was the concept of a force like the Star Wars movie, or a creature with a white sheet draped over its head floating around. But the good news is that the Holy Spirit is not the same as the Star Wars force, and he's certainly not like Casper the Friendly Ghost. The Holy Spirit is God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, "Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias lied, he didn't just lie to the people present in the room. He lied to the Holy Spirit and he lied to God. The Apostle Paul also writes that the Holy Spirit, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has his own identity within the Godhead. It's unique in form and function, just like God the Father and God the Son. And in Acts chapter 2, we read, coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. A vague force or concept cannot talk. It has no personality. The Holy Spirit of the Bible has personality and a distinct purpose and role because he is God. So this morning I'd like to share with us some of the Holy Spirit's purpose and role in our own lives. And the first one is to teach truth. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 16, I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The Holy Spirit's role is to convict the world, us, of sin and righteousness. Why is it you think you feel guilty if you lie? Or why do you think you feel shame if you mistreat someone? As a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will work in your life to convict you of sin. And I really want to emphasize the word convict, because often we associate the word convict with the word condemn. And I want to tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit does not condemn. Another meaning of the word convict is the word convince. So in other words, the Holy Spirit will work in our lives to convince us of our error or sinfulness. Why? Because his role, his purpose is to convict the world, you and I, of sin, and at the same time, convict the world of righteousness. That means that the reason you know what is wrong is because the Holy Spirit is working in you to reveal what is right. And the wonderful thing is that as the Holy Spirit convicts or convinces us of sin, he then gives us the help we need to correct the course and direction of our life. We are being prepared for the day of judgment when all of our deeds, both good and bad, will be revealed in the presence of God. And so for those that have embraced the kingdom of God by believing in Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life, the doors of heaven will be open wide. The second purpose and role of the Holy Spirit is to indwell believers, to live in us. Jesus was a teacher and he taught with words and action. He's Millard. He's the only Millard I know. But he's a professor of theology and an author. And he states this, the Holy Spirit is the point at which the Trinity becomes personal to the believer. The Holy Spirit gets to the very centre of our thinking because he lives in us. John chapter 14 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counsellor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Have you ever had those occasions when you feel absolutely compelled to call someone, to reach out to someone, to help someone? I know that that is the Holy Spirit living in us that is prompting us to take action. That's one way that God works. As the Holy Spirit lives in you and you listen to him, he will guide you. Last week, we heard from Ron Francis, who shared about a wonderful booklet he had written called Living in the Field of Faith. This book is testament to the work of the Holy Spirit in Ron's life. And if you didn't get a copy of the book last week, then I encourage you to pick up a copy after the service in the downstairs room where we have our morning tea. It's a really good read. Another purpose and role of the Holy Spirit is to empower believers. In John 14:12, Jesus said these words, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." The disciples had seen Jesus heal people and perform miracles left and right. And now here they were, standing in front of their master, and he was telling them that they would do even greater things than him. They must have had their doubts. Yet after Jesus' ascension and the arrival of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' words were fulfilled in Peter's life. In Acts chapter 2, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." After Peter spoke, about 3,000 people put their faith in God that day. Acts chapter 3 records that Peter, empowered by the Holy Spirit, healed a crippled man in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit lives in you and me to empower us to do both the natural and supernatural in his name. Do you remember the story last week that Jane shared about the woman with a blind eye that was healed when she was prayed for? That was the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. And another purpose and role of the Holy Spirit is to sanctify believers, to set apart, to declare holy. This means that as we desire to learn more about God and apply more of his principles in our lives, the Holy Spirit will draw us closer to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth." And finally, another purpose and role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is that he intercedes for believers. Romans chapter 8, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." The Holy Spirit also acts as our comforter, one who intercedes or supports or acts as an advocate, particularly in times of trial. And I know that in my life, that at times the most powerful and most intimate examples of the work of the Holy Spirit has come in those darkest hours. This year I received devastating news twice. The first was when my sister in Christchurch rang to tell me that our cousin had taken his own life. And the second was when my husband Mark rang me. I was at work. And he said to me, "Are you sitting down?" I thought, "Oh, okay, okay." And said to me that our brother-in-law, who we'd just seen the day before, had just dropped down dead. Both times, grief just overwhelmed me. And all I could think of was my auntie, who was going to have to bury her son, the third son that she's had to bury. And all I could think of was my sister-in-law, who with no warning was now widowed. Many of us here have suffered loss, devastation, and heartache. But in those times of grief and loss, when there are no words, the Holy Spirit can speak peace and hope into our hearts. In those times of grief and loss, the Holy Spirit can allow us to endure. And sometimes it's just 1 hour at a time. But he gives us hope to carry on. And in those times of grief and loss, the Holy Spirit guides us in what to pray for and how to pray, and can bring God's power into the lives of those we care about through intercession. And I know in my head and my heart that the Holy Spirit lives in me, and I've seen miracles and lives transformed. And I praise God for all that he has done. So, a quick recap. The Holy Spirit will teach us his truth. He will indwell, he will live in us. He will empower us. He will sanctify us. And he will intercede for us. And let me finish this by saying, God the Father leads people into righteousness and holiness. God the Son reveals God the Father. And the Holy Spirit reveals God the Son. And all three work together to expose the kingdom of God and invites us to participate in it of our own free will. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to stir up within us the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Help us to grow in our relationship with the third person of your Holy Trinity and to live in his power and use his gifts. To the glory of your name. Amen. As the musicians come up to play our last song, I want to invite you that if you are struggling to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, or if you're struggling with an area of your life that you know he's wanting to help you with, then there's an opportunity to receive prayer and support this morning. You may be struggling with your health, and I just want to mention the two people that Jean mentioned when she was doing Whakaronga Mai. You may have a concern about a loved one, or maybe you're concerned about your own spiritual journey. Perhaps you're feeling like you've given up on making a difference because you've been trying so hard to do it on your own. And if you'd like to receive prayer and support this morning, then I invite you to come and have a seat up the front as these guys play our last song. And there'll be members of our prayer team available to come and pray for you. So, thank you, Kenny. Thank you.